God bless you. God bless you. How are you this evening?
God bless you. I'm doing well, Pastor Hernandez. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Experiencing some new technology right here, right now.
That's awesome. It's so awesome.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely. This is New Beginnings Ministries, and we have Apostle Branch from Cutting Word Ministries, Deliverance Ministries. Let's welcome her this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be on your podcast tonight. I'm sure that you have some exciting things going on within your ministry and probably have some exciting things that we're going to talk about tonight. This is pretty random,
Very much so.
but that's the best podcast. I mean, really, when you think about it, it's just a random podcast. That's pretty much, we get to talk about whatever comes on our heart tonight or whatever the Lord placed in your heart. But I'm definitely honored to be on your ministry podcast.
Amen. And this is the first annual podcast for actual, this is it right here.
Wow. Okay, I can deal with that.
So
Podcast, at least I'll be back.
that's what that means. So just random conversations would be, today was a good day. How was your day?
My day was pretty good. The weather here, of course, we know we are coming out of Quorum, New York. So yesterday was 86 degrees, but today it is cold all over again.
Oh,
So
wow. That's amazing.
cold and raining. So, I mean, but it is what it is on Long Island. We're around all this water, so you can't expect but to have the weather do as it pleases. So, but we're alive. Well.
Yay. Yay. Also out here in Arizona, it's hot, muggy, and you need water. We don't have water around us. We just have a bunch of dirt and heat and more heat. Yes. So it's good to a certain, but then after a while, if ACs are not running right in your car, at your house, it's a must need that you call the repairman.
Well, how do
So,
you find that, or do you guys have a lot of or find that on the news a lot? It's a lot of elderly people who don't have air conditioners, or how does that work?
well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't do the news because there's really nothing good on it. But that is one of their main concerns, especially in some of the churches, like the church that I have been blessed to play for. They have and worship with. They put out like a, the pastor after service was over and they was closing. He made sure to let those that were in the church, as well as those who know other friends who are elderly, to make sure that if there was a need. And now, one thing that the news do make sure is that there are a lot of homeless here, as well as the elderly, and we need to make sure they stay hydrated, even if it's just going to the store. You know, we know that things happen. A friend of mine stepped just walking and strained the muscle just walking. And so that's something that happens. So ACs go out, your car AC goes out, or you need to charge it, like I need to charge mine. And so, and then you got the homeless people who are, there's not a lot of things or places they can go to get inside for air or whatever, unless they go to the lobby or whatever. But so that's a real big concern with the heat here. It's like 107, almost 110 degrees today. And that's dry heat. That's not no humidity. It's strictly dry heat. So even though we're just coming into summer months, the death toll, we do normally have a lot of deaths during the summer because of the heat. So that's something we need to definitely be careful of or mindful of for us in Arizona to, you know, as far as the churches here really come together and start passing out water. And there's a lot of churches that do sit water out on the steps. So, you know, in certain areas of the valley that they can come at liberty and just grab one or two water or whatever they need out of there. So, you know, we are doing the best we can with what we have.
Well, you think it would probably be a good idea to do something like a water drive?
Well, you know something, that would be a good idea, but I guess I'm just going to speak freely right here. And I think because there's so much access to the water, you have some churches that do it, like in some downtown areas. They do it. You have some people that actually drive around doing their own thing. And even if you're not homeless, they just see you walking down the street and you could be on your way to the bus stop or whatever. And they'll toss you a water. They'll pull over, hand the water out to the window. So we have a lot of people that are out here doing good, doing some good things. And but I haven't seen like something that would be considered a water drive. I know a lot of people kind of just do what they do. Like sometimes I'll keep water in my trunk and I will just pull up on people and give them water, two or three waters, you know. Wow. I need to get some, actually. So, yeah, that's just something that's... And then you have Salvation Army does water drives. I guess they will set up a tent and they will have just gallons or cases of water and ice and offer people water as well as a shaded area that they can sit. You have some churches or just some individuals who will go to the parks, pass out water and sandwiches. They're really trying to stop that because of health reasons, you know.
Yeah, I'm noticing that a lot of, I mean, I had even seen recently where there were some churches that were trying to give out food and they were literally like giving them citations and in one instance just trying to arrest them. And I'm just like, I know that we as a body of Christ have the power to pray and God can change things. But I also think that at some point we need to get involved with some of these political arenas and not necessarily becoming political, but trying to make sure that we're involved in knowing what's going on and maybe make some petitions. If the homeless are not being helped by, you know, our local governments, and then you do have the churches where you would expect that that's who would be helping, but mm-hmm. then your hands are getting tied. It's like, well, what do they do?
Right. You're right. Well, see, I know for a fact, Ben, that I'm in the food industry. Is there so much stuff going on? You got a lot of people that are passing out donated food that's outdated. You have, even in some restaurants, no matter how good they are, you still may get some food that is bad. That's, you got the lettuce thing going on. And I had an incident where I was sick for 24 hours. And the first thing they asked me, do you eat a lot of lettuce? Do you eat a lot of romaine lettuce? And I'm like, yeah, every day, because I kind of make a salad out of the rice and chicken. I eat rice and chicken every day. So I kind of make it a salad by adding the lettuce. And of course, a little salad dressing that I like. And so every day, so, I'm like, yeah, I eat it every day. But then you got it on the news where it's saying, be careful of romaine lettuce, iceberg lettuce, just lettuce. Lettuce is lettuce to me, you know, with a name. But so when you're dealing with that issue, then you got a lot of people who don't really want the help, or they have took the help and have taken advantage of the help to where now it's even harder for those that really need the help to get the help.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at a lot of things in which the community has to fight in order to help those who are less fortunate, whether homeless or they have a house with no AC, you know what I'm saying? Or the elderly who can't get back and forth because it's too hot. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that we need to step up our game on. You know, the Bible speaks that we're supposed to give them double honor because of the things that they've been through, because they held on to God's changing hand. And for those who may not have a belief system, but yet they still made it through.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so even in that, we're still supposed to hold them to a higher regard because they're still here trying to help us get to where we're going. And so and whether it's cold, like I've been in New York, I grew up in New York, so I know it get cold out there.
Oh, boy.
You know, thank God for this heat to a certain degree, but even, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we was talking about New York today. Y'all just don't get, I don't know, God may got something against New York right now. You know, he don't treat y'all right when it come to winter. Yeah, y'all got to pray a little harder out there.
I know by the time that, I mean, it's really funny, but by the time it gets warm, it's just about time to get cold all over.
Yeah, y'all don't get no break.
Yeah.
You know, but at least you don't have to suffer through this heat. That's, I understand it gets old after a while with the cold and you want the warmer weather, but that's why I tell everybody, you don't like it, come to Arizona. You'll be thankful for that cold.
I imagine so.
You know, because even here, now if we go upstate Arizona, you will have the Four Seasons. But in Phoenix, it's not necessarily Four Seasons. It's hot, a little cold. And there you have it.
Wow.
And if they got some, you know, I'm going to pick on Arizona a little bit. They have little times where they have a freeze warning. And it's like, you know, a little bit of cold. I'm saying to them, they say, like, go out there, cover your bushes, cover the little water pipe lines and all that stuff, because it's going to be a freeze, a little ice on the road. It's like, okay, you know what? Y'all haven't seen cold yet. let me be the first to tell you, we're talking, you go further east, you know, where it's below zero. We just saying below zero. We're not even putting no extra numbers on that. Below zero. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where even the biggest coats ain't big enough.
Now that's true.
You know, but
even like what happens is normally is you adjust to wherever you live and what have you. And just like when you're talking about the homeless population and the elderly there, it's like here we go through those seasons, like you're saying, hot and cold, where in the wintertime, it's so extremely cold that it's just sometimes even the mayor will call for an emergency and where it's like nobody can be outside.
Wow, really?
But last year or this past winter, what we're finding was that, you know, they're not even allowing you to give out blankets anymore to the homeless, which is wow. And so they're being kicked out of like the subways. They're being kicked. It's just so amazing to me. But then you still have the flip side of that where when it gets hot, you know, they're still in need. So I'm hoping that prayerfully things turn around and you know, it won't be so dramatic where you have to go through to assist people. But guess what? Even if we do, you know, the Bible lets us know that we are to obey the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, you know, if it gets to a place where you have to go through pulling teeth, then we'll just go through pulling teeth.
Amen. And, well, see, with that, not to cut you off, they're still supposed to be obedient to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, yes, these authorities are set here. They all have been ordained to be in this position by God. Even though some might think, oh, I did all this school. No, you were ordained for this to take place so you could be in this position to do what's right. And when you do what's wrong, according to all the Bible says it's always going to be poor among us. But when we start taking advantage of that in which we have been given power to help, then that means now we're telling God, well, we don't need you no more. Whether you believe it or don't believe it, I'm going to do what I want to do. And understand, even with that, you still have to suffer consequences for your actions because you're not upholding that in which you was placed there to do. And, I hate to hear that they're not passing out blankets anymore. That's
Well, they just started like, and I don't know. So that's why I'm saying it's something that has to be researched, but I definitely know they weren't allowing you to hand out blankets anymore. But I'm sure it's just like to everything, there's some type of loophole.
Right.
And so maybe it's a way of finding out what needs to be done. It's just like here, if you're giving out food, you know, if you're going to give out hot food, you have to go through the Department of Health and so on. So maybe there's just some other type of loophole where before you could just go out and do things, maybe you can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that we're going to look into.
Right.
Because I want to be in order. You know, it's like you want to give it assistance, but you also want to be in order because, again, you know, you have your organization that's on the line. You have yourself that's on the line. You have the people that you're trying to help that's on the line. It's like, so you have to really make sure that when you're doing these things, you know, you know what you're doing. And
exactly.
And you can't have your passion to go over like disobedience. Yeah.
That's right. And you're following all the laws and what can be changed. And, you know, it's hard work to change laws. I've seen a lot of different documentaries and even movies that are based off of true events where people go through hell and high water to get things changed for the benefit of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is now a lot of the people don't want to take part in the change because they have come accustomed to the failure in the system that they know it to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so now we're asking, we as the body of Christ, who is really supposed to be in the position to be able to do these things, have also allowed certain things to take place to where now we're being kicked to the back of the bus. And it's like, okay, well, since y'all not upholding this part, then why will we listen to you when you want to come uphold this part? If you're not, I mean, the Bible is clear when it says, how can you go out here when on the inside you're still not together? You know what I mean? So people see that. And we've had this conversation just in general on different different belief systems all the way around, how we don't know what a person is doing behind their closed door. Yeah, they might come out and say, I don't believe in this and I don't believe that, or I don't believe it. But yet they're sitting here and they're praying, they're reading, they're studying. For those that are able to do that, and then versus the person that may not be able to read, study, and do all that behind their door, they may be, like, I used to live under a bus and pray. So you have that person do it that is actually calling on God. And yet, for whatever reason, they're still in that season, but they haven't given up because they know a change is going to come. But we don't know that because we look at them, we judge them, and it's like, okay, yeah, you don't want no help. You want to be where you are. And so just for the fact that I was there and actually had a chance to talk to some, I don't go out there that often now I want to be able to do something that is going to be at least lasting for whomever it is that, or the group of people in which God allows me to deal with. So they'll know at least this person or this ministry or this group of people are serious about doing something. If y'all are serious about coming from this, mm-hmm. it's for, you got to learn, you got to repent, which is to change the mindset mm-hmm. of how you're believing. So if you believe that this is where you're going to be, then no matter what somebody does to help you, this is where you're going to be.
Right.
You know,
right.
They don't understand.
It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a deep wound.
Right. Knowing it ain't, you know, and then you got to let the wound get air. You got to put the proper stuff on it. I mean, if you need to get it stitched and all that, there's so much stuff that goes on in the healing process of from homeless to possible being one of the greatest persons that ever lived. And we know that there's many stories out there of that.
Listen, and when you talk about the healing process from going from homeless to possibly a successful person or someone great, I mean, literally, it you don't think about the healing process because when you're in it, you're so busy trying to get out of it. And then when you're out of it, you're still trying to get out of it because you're trying to maintain the way where you don't go back into it. Mm-hmm. You never really heal emotionally from like that. Takes when you go through homelessness, and I know you understand.
Oh yeah,
as we do, that's a powerful thing that we're talking about right now. There is a healing process.
Amen.
And if you're single, there's a healing process, and when you have a family, it's a healing process because it's a trauma. Mm-hmm. It's a trauma to your emotions. It's a trauma too. And then as adults, we can handle things, but then you have children when they're involved. It's just a trickle down effect. So
mm-hmm.
I think even for me, it has been 6 years and we're still recovering emotionally from that.
Right.
Like that healing process. I mean, because there's so many things that you pick up along the way, the environments are different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just wow, that's a powerful statement. That
yes.
The healing process from homeless to going to becoming great.
Yeah, yeah. It's and let me tell you, it's because when you're in that, when I was homeless, now I didn't know about the shelters, I didn't know about halfway houses, went to jail many a times for trespassing or what they consider urban camping. And I just learned not too long ago that even with the urban camping license that you can get, you still can't urbanly camp. you can get a license that's supposed to be able to do it, but yet you're still against the law to do it. So it's like, okay, but that's Arizona. But anyway, the one thing that I learned when I was homeless is that the hardest thing for me to do was I was also used to being kicked out. So there's two things going against me. As soon as there was a fight, whomever, whether it was my girlfriend or roommate or whatever, my first thought was, oh, you're going to kick me out. My second thought is, now I'm going to be homeless. So now I have to start acting like I'm going to be homeless. And so therefore, my thinking, which people say is stinking, as they call it, stinking thinking, which is a term they use in AA, NA. That's where I picked it up. But anyway, that's my go-to. So now I have to protect myself or build up a wall to prepare myself for going back out into the element, in which that was the way I guarded myself, even though that was not going to be the outcome of said situation.
Wow.
And so, matter of fact, I have to tell you, we were just talking about you not too long ago, me and a friend of mine, and I was being transparent with this friend that we were just talking about, of me being in agreement with. And I was sharing with this friend, I said, I was not going to agree. And I was hell bent on not agreeing. I said, but I had to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of all this and laughing and people saying that they were sorry and all this and that, and even still wasn't trying to talk. And then yet certain situation came up in which I had to call. But I had to realize it's God. Whatever God wants, God is going to have. It's going to be. It's God ordained order. And so we was talking, come to find out this individual was homeless for 3 years in a shelter.
Wow.
Come to find out, they learned a whole bunch of stuff that I was just kind of put on, which I got to get more information on right now. I mean, hey, this is, you can go do this, you can go do that. And so here we are thinking one way, when if we just, and we realized that, and I, the thing that was said, and I actually, you know what? The thing that was said was, I said, my pastor was actually in agreement with you. And all of a sudden, this person was like, oh, amen. I said, no, don't amen. I said, she was in agreement with the womanhood that you was, you know what I mean? But then when we got to talking about the shelter and things, and I said, you know, my pastor learned all that she knows while being in a shelter.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, that's amazing, because she had to learn so much with six kids. I think y'all have about the same amount of kids.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, for 3 years. And I said, that's crazy. She learned all her stuff, even got a job that required, if I wasn't mistaken on this, correct me if I'm wrong, you got your job that you needed a degree for, in which you got because of all the studying and things God was preparing you for.
Right.
Whereas she had, I think she had the degree, but yet she went through this season where she had to learn other things. And she's in the position now to where she can shape young minds. And she said what floored her was a young student said something about being homeless and asked her, have you ever been homeless or lived in a shelter? And she said that she has never been speechless, but to hear this young person, whomever it was, say about living in a shelter, it made her stop in her tracks, and she had to, and it brought back that in which she experienced, where now she can encourage this person, okay, if this is what it is, you can come from it.
And that's the powerful thing about it, is like when we talk about that healing process, she had started on her journey of healing to the point where it's not that you don't have compassion for it, but it was only until that person mentioned it that she had to go down that memory lane and then remember. And then you when those things happen, you are so grateful to where you are. But at the same time, it's a painful place sometimes to go back.
And
just think about this, how the things that we're talking about we want to do and the things that we want to help people do for the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're running into people who have the know-hows. Like, just as if she's standing there telling you about all the things that she knows how to do because she experienced that. So between the things that I've experienced, between the things that she's experienced, between the things that you've experienced, and the things that we learn, then we're almost able to help just about any type of person.
That's right.
That's been in that homeless situation, whether they're addicted or
circumstances just out of control.
It's so powerful, and I'm like, wow, you know.
Exactly, and I was blown back because of that. It's like, that's just crazy, because even though the situation prior to us talking here again was abrupt, you know, it was amazing to hear, okay, so now, because I said, I know there's something different, and I know, and I always, and I let it be known, every encounter I have, I pray, what am I to receive, or even what am I to give? But I look at every situation as learning something. Mm-hmm. Lord, whatever it is that you have me to receive, let that be what it is. And then as we move forward, then whatever I'm supposed to do, Lord, reveal that. That is my first on every, I mean, I did it. I did it with y'all, with you and your husband. Okay. And you know, and then I told, and I tell everybody, I say, look, if the man or woman of God tell you to do something, you still better do it. Mm-hmm. I said, I went through my season with my pastors of not being obedient, even telling them about themselves a few times. And it was not good. It was not, the end result was not good. I said, the God is going to show you who you can and can't mess with. And these people you can't mess with. Listen to me. But that's good, because even when you look at it biblically, when they went against the man and woman of God that was sent, things did not work out on their behalf. And they had to come to the terms with it, whether their life was taken or not. The remnant that was left was able to say, hey, y'all don't want to do that over there. They're not those people. And even in the situation, when you even look at some of the people who are less fortunate, we don't know the grace they have. Mm. We don't know the grace they have. And I had a young man tell me one time on my extended vacation. He said, can't nobody tell me nothing. I said, bro, you'll be surprised. God will, if he can use a donkey to warn the man of God, he can use the least likely person, which a lot of us think is the homeless man, to give you a word. And I said, you sure better. Oh, can't no homeless man tell me nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And this young man, although he's doing better now, so he says, he was back out there with the very people he was saying they couldn't tell him nothing.
And that's the power of words, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you can't, you know, it's like you got to be so ever so careful when talking about what you will do and what you won't do and things like that, because you'll be tested on it.
Mm-hmm. You sure will.
Yeah, you'll be tested.
You sure will. And it's amazing. And some incidences, and they're not bad. It's just, I shared with someone today, I said, they're talking about losing one of the things that's needed. And I said, how did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it. I said, so if God said, let there be light, there was light. So if you speak negative, what's going to happen? There is power in the things that you say. So you can't speak this thing. I said, because I ain't getting ready to have it, especially if you know me. I'm not getting ready to deal with your negativity. We're going to pray on whatever it is, and it's going to be, all you got to do is believe it.
Correct. Right. Yeah, right. To shut it down at some point when it comes out. And not everybody understands that. Like, well, what I'm finding, well, that's just a whole nother podcast. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that's a big one right there. Part one, two, three, four.
Don't even want to go there today, but words are powerful, and what we say is powerful. And so we definitely want to make sure, but I am so grateful to have been able to grace this podcast tonight.
Amen. It was great.
I am excited, and it was random, but it was needed. And I'm sure that hope in that was said tonight that would encourage somebody. It wasn't a complete biblical podcast tonight, but every now and then you just need to talk about some everyday things, because people are dealing with things in their life. And of course we know that Christ is the answer to the problems that are in this world in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, you know, depending on, you have to know that everybody is not or does not have a biblical foundation. However, when we show acts of kindness, that is us showing the love of God, and then that gives us a doorway to be able to introduce God to them.
Amen.
And so it's a powerful thing, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to speak with you, and I'm glad Amen. You had the opportunity to speak with that woman who we now know had that experience, because I believe that some kind of way she's going to be able to help us out, and we'll probably wind up helping her out. Maybe we all just work together.
Amen.
Get some things done.
Amen. And that's what it is. The power of togetherness.
Yes.
That is exactly what it is. And you know, and the thing is, and this is almost jumping into another subject in which I will not stay long, but when it comes to biblical living, there is no reason that the body is without. Mm. And that is one thing. That is another topic for another evening, part 1, 2 through 10. and although we were speaking on, like you said, life issues with very little biblical content, if you will,
right?
We have to understand that when you learn how to operate spiritually, your natural operation comes natural.
You right,
if that makes
preach,
any sense.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Because if we're not operating correctly in the spirit, we were not going to operate correctly in the natural. And that's just what it is. And so with that being said, before we have church up in here, we do appreciate everybody that tuned in and that will tune in, because we're going to learn how this thing works. And we're going to be broadcasting from time to time. As y'all know, we do from time to time. So it was a pleasure, Apostle Branch, having you on tonight.
Yes. Actually, I'm excited because I'm podcasting with you this evening. I'm supposed to podcast with Apostle Wendy. I gotten busy and didn't get a chance to podcast with him.
Mm-hmm.
Also going to be doing a podcast probably within the next week or so with my best friend, and we're going to talk about relationships, because we're finding out and we're running into a lot of the younger generation just having a hard time
right.
in relationships and finding out that they see marriage as a fad, almost a fairy tale.
Yes.
But not having the real understanding of what it takes to be in a marriage. So that's something that we're going to be doing. That's something we're even thinking about doing a summit.
Well, that's going to
we'll
be
start
a
out with
big
a podcast.
One.
How about that?
That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a great podcast, too, because it's going to open up the floor for a lot of questions. And as we know that I'm going through my own little ordeal with marriage or divorce, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know half the time what it is. But one thing about it, we have to know what each state, whatever state you're in,
yes.
and it comes to this marriage thing, you better be aware of the laws of that state.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
Is going to be something that we all need to learn, because, like you said, people are not having an understanding.
Well, that'll be something interesting. And I mean, I'm definitely be prayerful about it, because, you know, we could do a podcast where we all wind up participating in it and talk about it, because she's been married and divorced and then married and divorced and married and happy. And so, you know, I know a lot of times people will say, you know, the third time is a charm and so on and so forth, but nobody actually gets married to get divorced.
That's right.
No one does that, you know, and no one gets married to get divorced. And I know I told God, listen. I don't have time.
I have that discussion all the time. It's like, Lord, really?
Yeah, right.
You know, the whole, you know, my heart thing, you know, it's, I can't run that into the, you know, ground anymore, because he knows my heart, you know. But hey, we need to do something. It ain't working.
I feel the Holy Ghost on marriage one. I promise you.
Listen,
it's gonna be powerful. Mm, Lord,
it is me. Because, and the scripture that came to mind is one that I use a lot, and I use it for marriage as well as for the building of the church, because we're not gonna touch that. we ain't gonna touch that one, because that's gonna make a whole bunch of people mad, especially speaking in a biblical sense. So we're going to move right along with this ending part here.
Correct.
Now the scripture that came to me and we're going to be done. You know, every good preacher has 20 closes. So
I must not be a good preacher then.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know, it's like if you really notice, whenever you go to, if you're visiting someone's Bible study or visiting someone's church, they always run that line, every good preacher has 5 closes. Every good preacher has 10 closes. Somebody told me 15, so I went 20. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know. You know, when God is done, I'm done.
Exactly.
Ain't no need of me standing up here steady pushing on through, because now you're losing everybody. It's like, really, you still going? You know, I got a tip to wow. I'll holler at y'all next week. But the one thing when we talk about marriage, and even in just foundational building, period. Let's use that. I like that word, foundational building.
Okay.
The Bible says in Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And if our marriages and our relationships and our walk with God is not founded on this foundation, then everything is going to be done in vain. Because if you don't have the firm foundation with the Lord, then, you know, it's not going to work anyway. And then you want to get married on a foundation in which isn't strong already. It's not going to work. So,
and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail
against it. That's right.
And even though, just so that it won't be saying that we've taken it out of context as scripture, but when we look at the fact that the Lord says that He is married to the church,
that's
church
right,
being the body, He is correlating marriage into His body, or the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
And so we could use that scripture and say, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, upon this marriage,
mm-hmm.
upon this relationship, upon this friendship, upon this covenant.
That's,
you know,
right.
Whether it's marriage or not.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when I saw that scripture, when I think I was in North Carolina when I first I won't say stumbled, but I stumbled across the scripture when the Lord allowed me to see it. It hit home, because even in your house, even in how we grow up with our mother and father, we don't realize that a lot of things that we endure up to the point that if we're getting married, that has not been corrected, comes from what we saw growing up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're going to stop.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think what'll happen
I'm looking forward to that one.
Because what's going to happen is we'll wind up going on, and as I stated, we're going to do the relationship one. Apostle Wingate and I, we're going to do the one on discipleship of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be powerful. Once you deal with the adults, then you can deal with the children.
That's right.
And we'll see where it goes from there. But God bless you.
God bless you as well.
And I appreciate you having me on this podcast.
Anytime. You have a wonderful morning, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it? 3 o'clock? 12 o'clock?
It's morning. Yeah.
Amen. So you have a good morning.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you all for joining in, and we'll see you next time.
God bless.